Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
Welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, brought to you by Pinoak Agency and Next Level from the Lineup Media Studios in downtown Edwardsville. I am Colin Surrey, alongside Dave Leip. We've got a great show today. It's the football show. We've got three different quarterbacks on this one, and it's going to be fun, Dave.
It's the quarterback show. Three Metro East quarterbacks, all three at different points in their career. We've got a guy who just graduated and is going to walk on at Carbondale. We've got a guy who's entering his senior year, and he's a star in the Southwest Conference. And we've got a guy who's getting ready to start his sophomore year at Notre Dame.
Lucas Mawe will join us. He is from Belleville East. Kendall Abdur-Rahman, former Edwardsville standout, now at Notre Dame, and one of the best quarterbacks ever in the state of Illinois that maybe you haven't heard of, Hunter Flowers, our 1A Mespy winner of the year. Make sure you check out those posts on Facebook and on Twitter. Follow us at Podcast Metro. That is our Twitter handle. And follow us, just Metro East Sports Podcast on Facebook. The posts are up. Hunter Flowers, more than deserving. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we talked about one of the best players ever in the state of Illinois. 508 completions, that's eighth in Illinois history. 97 touchdown passes, fifth all-time. 7,771 passing yards, that is 10th all-time in the state of Illinois. How nice is it to hear that, Hunter?
Yeah, it was really great to hear that. I couldn't have gotten to where I am today with all of that stuff without the help of my coaches and my teammates. They really helped me out a lot.
Did your uncle make you say that?
No.
Because your uncle is your coach.
Yeah.
Right? So it's kind of a family tradition there in Carrollton with the Flowers family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you play more than football. You play basketball and you play baseball, too.
Yeah, I played basketball for 3 years and baseball for two. Yep.
And in baseball, you were going to be a pitcher this year, but obviously COVID canceled that situation. I think one of the misconceptions that most people would have about a quarterback in Carrollton is they probably assume that you were a running quarterback. But your stats bear out that you are really a pocket passer.
Yeah. Through my years as quarterback, we haven't really had a dominant runner like Carrollton has had in the past. So we spread it out quite a bit, and the air is what we went to.
You threw it a lot.
Yeah.
And that's fun. A quarterback smiles when he says, I get to throw the ball a lot. So so good for you.
Yeah.
And you are considering playing. You are dreaming of playing at the next level. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah. I'm going into aviation. I'm going to go be a pilot. I'm getting my pilot's license right now down in Portage de Sioux, right across the river. And so Carbondale has the best aviation facility in Illinois. And cool. So that's why I wanted to go to Carbondale, and I don't want to give up football yet. So I'm going to try walking on there and playing.
So what kind of pilot do you want to be?
Right now I'm thinking about commercial pilot, so I'm wanting to go big.
And how many hours have you put in the air already?
Right now I'm about 20 hours in the air. I need about 40 to get my license.
Awesome. Would you get in a plane with this guy?
Absolutely. Judging by these stats, if you're even half as good as you are at flying as you are at football, I'll feel perfectly safe up in the air with Hunter.
What do you think they're going to do with you at Carbondale? Let's assume you make the team.
I actually had a phone call with the coach last night. I talked to him. He says, as of right now, they don't know their numbers. They don't know anything yet. But he says, as soon as they do, he'll let me know. But he said, I'll start out at quarterback. He said they have six quarterbacks right now. And he said, if he needs to move me, he said he'll think about moving me to the slot or safety position.
Cool.
Now, things are a little bit different right now with everything going on with the pandemic. How do you stay sharp? How do you continue to progress in this time when it's difficult for a lot of people to find facilities?
Yeah, that's my problem, too. I've been going down to Jerseyville. I've been working out there. I started that in early December, and I started working out there. And he's been helping me out a lot. And it's called The Crunch in Jerseyville. And that's where I went. And as soon as this COVID thing started, it stopped. They had to close. So that's been my problem. I haven't been finding anywhere to get in. And
have you been doing stuff at home or just?
I've been going up to Jacksonville and throwing with Pascal Gilavogi from Beardstown and Alex Cosgriff from Route. We've been getting some throwing in. And that's really mainly all I've been doing.
And we got a video of you throwing the ball a little bit. And folks get a chance to see you throwing it. You're a left-hander.
Yeah.
You spin it out. Yeah. You spin it right out of there real fast. So if they want to see you actually throwing the ball, they can check us out on Facebook and Twitter.
That's right. And is it any different for your receivers? Now, I know you were a staple at Carrollton, so they were used to having you throw them the ball, but it's got that different spin on it coming from the left side. Are there any nuances as a left-handed quarterback as opposed to being a right-hander?
Yeah, it's the long ball game. The ball comes down at a different angle coming from a left-hander than it does right-handed. That's why my friends up north, Alex and Pascal, they always make fun of me for it coming down different, and they have a hard time catching the ball. But my receivers got used to it quick from throwing all summer, and even the new guys, they got used to it pretty quick, so they were pretty well equipped.
Well, there have been lots of great left-handed quarterbacks. Yeah. So were there any quarterbacks, Colin was wondering also, after whom you model your game?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Any quarterbacks that you look up to, you think, I want to throw like that guy. I want to move in the pocket like that guy.
Tua, he's going to Miami. I love the way he plays. I love the way he throws. He's a lefty also.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big Alabama fan, so that would probably be the guy.
Now, something that Tua does so well, throwing with anticipation. And that's something is you make a jump in the game of football, that becomes more and more important. What are you doing to try to develop that skill?
I just got to get out there and throw more with the faster receivers, because I got some fast guys, but not fast like the college level.
Right,
and
right.
Division I is a lot different than 1A small school football.
Sure.
So that's what I got to get better at, is throwing with some bigger, faster receivers.
Now, this Carrollton team that you played on this past year, very young team, only graduated 6 guys out of that starting lineup. What was it like for you to try to be a leader on that team and try to leave a long-lasting legacy? What kind of leadership qualities did you try to bring to the table?
Well, the funny thing about that is we only have 1 junior on the team and 6 seniors, so we had to start 10 sophomores.
Wow.
10
wow.
sophomores.
So 6 seniors graduating didn't even tell the whole story or even come close.
Not even close. Yeah, so we have 1 junior who'll be the senior next year, and he'll be the sole senior. And
who's that? What's his name?
His name is Matthew Rutherford. He was he had the most receptions from me this year. I don't remember how many yards he had, but he was my top receiver this year. He does really well. He was, I'd say, the leader in the weight room. He was showing everybody up. But the sophomores is a super talented group, and there's, I think, 11 or 12 of them, and they're going to be fun to watch. But yeah, they looked up to me, and they followed, and they listened to what I had to say, and everything fit in well.
Are you a vocal leader?
It depends on the situation. I lead by example, and I can express my feelings vocally if I need to.
Do you like to stand up and give the team a pregame speech?
In the locker room, I'll say a couple words, nothing too much.
Did you and your uncle, head coach there, did you guys talk about how to lead before this season, or was it something that just kind of organically came?
Not really before this season. It was mainly my sophomore season, because my freshman year I broke my arm, so I didn't get to play at all. And we only had 1 quarterback, and he was a senior. He started for 2 years, and he graduated. So my sophomore year, we didn't have any other quarterbacks, no older quarterbacks or anything. So I stepped into that role, and he talked to me quite a bit about leadership and the role that I was going to have, and that's how I ended up where I am.
What was that experience like, kind of getting thrown into the fire? You're coming off of a season where you didn't even get to play your freshman year, and now all of a sudden you're the starter as a sophomore. And do you think that experience will help you trying to make that next jump at SIUC?
Oh, I hope so. I had a lot of great teammates, older teammates that I looked up to. That being said, Nathan Walker, he was a year above me. He was 1 yard off of breaking the WIVC record for passing receptions, and he had, it was almost 1,200, and that was his junior year. And Alex Boker, he was a senior my sophomore year. He was one that would lead the team on the field. He wasn't a big talker, but I looked up to those two quite a bit, and they helped me out along the way.
Let's talk about Carrollton High School for a second.
Yeah.
Carrollton High School is not like the schools in the Southwestern Conference that are over 2,000 kids sometimes.
Right.
What's the student population at Carrollton?
We've got 210.
210
kids. I've got 38 kids in my class that just graduated.
But you loved your experience at Carrollton High School.
Oh, yeah. The small classroom, you can't beat it. That's what I love. Everything was small. You were one-on-one with the teacher if you needed to be. They always helped you out with everything, and it was easy to get by.
I bet you were pretty close to those 37 other kids in your class, too.
Yeah, mostly. A lot of them I was.
Haven't you known them all since kindergarten?
The thing about Carrollton is we've got two grade schools. We've got St. John's, which is a Catholic grade school. That's what I went to. And we've got the Carrollton grade school. And so we actually got to play against each other in basketball. And that was fun. It was a fun little rivalry. But whenever we got to high school, we all just became closer because of it.
At Carrollton. Everybody goes to Carrollton.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So now that you're making this next step in going to Carbondale, what are the things that you really are focused on? It's a big change in the way that you have to allot your time and all of these different things. We talked a little bit about you wanting to become a pilot, and that's going to take up quite a bit of time as well. How do you try to do the best that you can with the amount of time that you're given?
Well, that's what I'm trying to do right now. I need to get up to about 205. And being 6'2", 205 is about where I need to be for quarterback. I ended the season this year being 180. So right now I'm at 196. So I've gained 16 pounds in 5 or 6 months. So it's been good. But ever since the COVID thing, I haven't been working out like I need to be. But things are going to start opening up, and I'm hoping to get back in there hard.
So what's your weight training routine look like during all of the COVID-19 process?
I'm intaking about 3,000 calories a day. Protein shakes are killing me. I've been getting away from that ever since the COVID thing started, but I really need to be getting back on that. That's really where I gained the most weight, and I was seeing a lot of gains in the weight room.
So you need those calories. What's your go-to big-time calorie meal?
Big-time calorie meal. I'm a pasta guy. I like pasta and chicken. So fettuccine and chicken is probably my go-to.
Nice. I think I would go for a little bit of that right now.
I would have no problem getting 3,000 calories a day. I'm trying to get down to 3,000 a day. And I, too, have gained weight during COVID, but not in a healthy way and not in a good way like you are attempting to do. Well, we wish you the best of luck at Carbondale with the Salukis. We're going to keep following your career. We want to have you back on the show, and totally fun to have you here.
So thank you so much for joining us. And again, make sure you go back to our Facebook page. Check out the post. Our 1A MESPE winner, Hunter Flowers, thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Top 10 how many categories in passing?
Top 10 in three major categories. 508 completions are eighth in the history of Illinois. 97 passing touchdowns, fifth, and 7,771 yards is 10th in Illinois history.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Hunter Flowers. Up next, Lucas Mawe coming your way. We are proud to continue to partner with Pin Oak Agency. Located in Maryville, Pin Oak Agency Insurance and Risk Management will work with you to find just the right insurance for your car, home, health, business, or farm. A lifelong resident of the Metro East, Andy Calloway is here to help you and your family safeguard against the unexpected and plan for the future. Give Pin Oak Agency a call today at 288-9375 to set up an appointment. Andy and his staff will listen to you and help you reach your goals. Or find them on Facebook at Pin Oak Agency. Tell them we sent you. Again, that number, 288-9375. Andy Calloway will get you set up with Pin Oak Agency. But now we welcome in on the Metro East podcast, we've got Lucas Mawe, the Belleville East quarterback, a junior this past season, going to be a senior this upcoming year. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
We are happy to have you. You threw for 1,409 yards this past season, 12 passing touchdowns, another rushing touchdown to add on top of it. It was an excellent season and one that saw your team really improve throughout the year. You lose by just one at O'Fallon, a team that took a big step forward this year compared to last. Nearly took down Edwardsville. They had to come back furiously in the fourth quarter. You won three out of your last four games this year. How much better was this team than a lot of people realized?
It was just everything was so different with the whole team and the whole season. There was just a different, like, a feel to the practices. Everyone was more bought in than it ever has been with me around there. And even in those games that we didn't come out on top, we were in them the whole time. We were in every game besides maybe two this year. And that's just been the difference for since my freshman and sophomore year. It's a huge difference with Coach Harrison and the whole team bonding together and playing together more.
And now that you've got that year of experience under your belt playing in those close games, being in those battles against some of the best teams that the Metro East area has to offer, how much is that going to benefit you heading into your senior season?
I really think we have a great upside this year. I really think it's a year to change the culture of Belleville East football, get the people back out to the games like it used to be. And I really think we have a good chance of making a good run this year.
How have you tried to mold that culture and bring it into a really winning culture that can last for a long time?
Really, the biggest thing is getting the younger kids bought into the workouts, bought into the practices, to know that it's not about just the games and being out there in front of the people with your jersey on at the school. And that's like the biggest change for us, really, the off-season workouts with 50, 60 kids there, all the freshmen bought in, starting to get their bodies right to play against bigger kids. So
you're a leader on that team. And I asked Hunter Flowers, our last guest, are you a vocal leader? Are you standing up in front of the team giving a talk after those workouts?
I'm definitely more of a vocal leader with like getting on people, seeing things that aren't right and getting on them. But I like to lead more by example because I think to the younger kids, that's what they see the most. Like everyone yells at the younger kids. I think they learn better from a kid doing everything right. So that's what I've been trying to work on this offseason and last year coming into it as a captain, as a junior. So I think just leading by example and telling them when they needed to hear it, but mostly just getting in front of them and leading them.
Any other sports for you these days at Belleville East High School?
I was playing baseball this year. I played baseball all 3 years. Unfortunately, I got cut short, but I enjoy baseball. I like being out there, but obviously my main focus has been football for a while now.
You talk about the buy-in and trying to get everyone on the same page. Well, when you have a quarterback, I wish we had some video so that guys could see how big you are as a quarterback and really trying to take that physical part of the game really seriously. How important is it for them to see you doing it, and then it makes it a little bit easier for everyone else to fall in line?
Yeah, but I feel like with that, it makes it just easier for the kids to understand what they really have to do. And like with us, I'll have to, every day at lifting, I'll compete with our middle linebacker, a big kid. He's also a junior. And I just see that, and then younger kids can find the kids near their strength, and they get to competing. And it's really like the mentality you have to compete in our conference.
We're joined by Lucas Maui, quarterback for Belleville East. Clearly you have a very competitive nature. Does that come out in aspects other than sports in your life?
Yeah, I think everything I really take competitively, like sitting in class with my buddy, if he gets a better score on a test, like it's just everything that I want to learn more, want to get better at. And it really transfers over to football and baseball and any other thing really, really do.
And you have college aspirations.
Yeah. I really want to play in the next level. Really want to have the dream for forever just to play on TV. It's been my dream since I was six, just get somewhere I can play on TV. Save a little money for my parents and enjoy the game of football.
What are some of the schools that are at the top of your list? And have you had any contact from any schools?
Actually, this week I've got two Division III offers from St. Norbert College up in Wisconsin near Green Bay. And then 2 nights ago, Roosevelt College near Chicago. So I really appreciate those. It's great. Hopefully it's a good start. Hopefully it keeps on rolling and progresses more. But I'd like to land somewhere where I can get a good amount of off, get a good education, and hopefully play somewhere.
Any idea what you want to study?
I've been in between. I'm taking like a business elective class next year for East. It's our CEO program. It's like big. It's meshed between East and West and Altoff. So I'm thinking right now to go in there, but I don't know. Things change in this next year, so.
Lucas, I had the privilege of getting to call one of your games this past season, and maybe the most striking thing that stood out to me watching you play, a lot of quarterbacks, especially younger quarterbacks, when they break the pocket, their eyes come down, they tuck the football, and they immediately become runners. You keep your eyes downfield, and you're looking to make that big play at all times. As a playmaker, how important has that skill been to develop, and where did it come from?
Really where it came from this year is getting yelled at for every time I do tuck it. So, and I mean, at the next level, it's not, you're not going to be able to run through linebackers as a quarterback. It's just not going to be there for you. And I think at high school, when that quarterback gets out of that pocket, those DBs just lock their eyes on you. So I think it's like my best opportunity to make a good play. It's what's best for it, to get the receivers in hand, save myself from taking a hit. And I think that's one of my biggest things I want to work on a little bit more this year. Like when something isn't there, create more time for it. And I love throwing on the run. It's my favorite part. So
no doubt, there were definitely some plays rolling out to the right where you took some shots downfield in the game that I was able to see, and it was really fun.
What don't people understand about playing quarterback at your level?
It's 100 miles per second. Like, there's so many things going on. My first quarterback coach, who really molded me into a quarterback freshman year, he always said it was like reading a book going the wrong way down a highway. And then when you really think about it, it's what you're looking at, because you got five of the biggest kids on the field running straight at you, but you can't be looking at them. You have other things to read downfield, and that's the biggest thing you really have to adjust to playing big school, high school football. It's so fast-paced, and it's only going to go up in college. So.
Right. I knew someone who played high school, college, Division I, and then professional, and he said the difference between high school and college, the speed was tremendous, but he said the difference was even greater going from college to the NFL.
I can't imagine that now. Hopefully, maybe I'll get the chance to see how much of a difference college is. So,
well, you'll get bigger, stronger, and faster too. Mm-hmm. And you've been keeping yourself fit at home on your own during this. What are some of the things that you've been able to do to keep yourself fit throughout this COVID experience?
Our coach has been sending out all like non-weight room, nothing that you don't need anything for, just exercises, like all body weight stuff and things you can find around the house. And I've been trying to do those every day. A few of my buddies have gyms in their house, so I've been going over there. I have a little gym in my house, but nothing I couldn't really do. So I've been trying to stay active at least 4 days a week, trying to get into it. All my buddies are motivated too, since we're not doing anything right now. So,
but you also have trained for a few years with one of our other partners, Next Level, and EJ Jones. Talk about how that experience has shaped you as a football player.
I think it's shaped me in a crazy way. The speed is crazy. It's just a different type of workout that really gets progress, and it gets you to a different level of an athlete that you think you can be. Like, it's so much of a difference if you put your time into it and really go for it.
So I think what has worked for you, the formula that has worked for you, is you're still working out with your team. You go to all the team workouts, you go to all the team weight room workouts, but then you supplement that and you enhance that by working with EJ and the coaches at Next Level.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a good mix, and I've talked to my coach about getting in with that, and my coach knows of EJ, my coach knows of what they do there, so he's okay if I'm leaving a tiny bit early, or, and I don't like to do that because the freshmen see that and they think I can do it, but like, my coach understands that I get in both, and he likes it, and he likes Next Level.
As a leader and somebody who is trying to set that example of what kind of physical shape you need to be in, how do you communicate with everyone on the team? I mean, there's a lot of other guys you got to keep track of, and how do you possibly keep up with what everyone is doing, and how do you encourage them to keep on the ball with the rest of you?
I think it's just, for us, at least at Bevelise, it's just when that energy's high and everything is flowing smooth at a fast pace, I think that's when we're best, and that's when we don't make mistakes. That's when everyone's bought in. But when we do slow down, or someone's messing around, or we mess something up, I think that's when it's little kind of slows us down. So I think I like to lead in a way of like the energy high and staying electric, staying on top of my boys. When something great happens, I'll be right there to yell at them. You get in their face, whatever, celebrate. So I think that's my favorite way to lead a team, is just in a electric and over the top. So,
and you talked a little bit earlier about how fast the game is as a quarterback, all of the different things that you're trying to read on any given play. What do you do to help slow the game down for you? Is it getting in the film room, do you notice, makes a big difference? Is it just the reps? What is it for you?
I think it's a lot of film. It's big at this level, and I didn't really understand that freshman year, And then getting into it and playing my first varsity game and all that, you really notice how much it really helps. And like seeing that, seeing the coverages go through your head, and then you're seeing them in the game and you notice exactly what it is, exactly where they're going. And that's just like the biggest thing to get your game to the next level, because anyone can go out there and pick a receiver and sling it to them and maybe it'll come up good, maybe it won't. But that's the difference between, I think, a mature quarterback and a kid who's just getting out there.
Do your coaches ever challenge you in the film room? Maybe they'll give you 1 second through the play and they want you to, hey, what kind of coverage is that?
Yeah, so that's pretty much every day of summer with our coaches. It's yelling out, calling different people on who's going to call this one, who knows this one, who knows this one. And it's just, you're put on the spot and you have to think like it's a game. So I think that's our big way to do it. And a lot of it's at home for me, because we watch a lot of film with the team, but I think you're going to be behind if you're not watching film at home and everything you can to just really get the whole game in your head.
Now, is there a quarterback that you try to model your game after? Is there someone that you look up to or someone that has some qualities that you're really trying to improve on in your game?
I've always loved Drew Brees. He's been my favorite since I was a kid. But recently, Baker Mayfield, really loved what he did in college with all of everything walking on and having that confidence and knowing he was that good and knowing he could do that. And he had a rough year this year, but I think he will eventually have a great career in the NFL with he just has everything at the right time. He's not the biggest, not the strongest, doesn't have the best arm, but he can get by and he makes plays. So that's, I'd say I model after Baker Mayfield, and Drew Brees would be my favorite.
Very cool. Great stuff. Lucas Maui, thank you so much for joining us. This has been an absolute pleasure, and we're wishing you the best for your senior year at Belleville East.
Yeah, I hope you're able to have a season. Honestly, I think that's the elephant in the room. Yep. I'm talking to this guy, and he's got all this promise, and I'm really looking forward to you having a huge year, and I'm also really hopeful that we're able to play.
Mm-hmm. Every night, just talking about it with my parents. It's we're hoping.
Yeah.
Lucas, thanks again. Thank you so much. Up next, Kendall Abdur-Rahman on the Metro East Sports Podcast. We are excited to continue to partner with Next Level Sports Performance Institute. Next Level offers massage, sports medicine, nutrition counseling, sports performance training, and customized personal training. Located in Edwardsville, just minutes from the SIUE baseball field, Next Level can help you recover from an injury or help any athlete maximize his or her talent using state-of-the-art equipment. Give EJ Jones and staff a call at 307-4567 to begin training like a professional today, or check them out online at nextlevelnation.com. NXTLevelNation.com. There's a big reopening happening this Saturday, May 30th. All kinds of specials will be available. Again, give EJ Jones and staff a call at 307-4567 or check them out online at nextlevelnation.com. NXTLevelNation.com. We are now joined by former Edwardsville Tiger standout Kendall Abdur-Rahman, now a wide receiver for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Kendall, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to have you along. This is a guy who played quarterback at Edwardsville, and you had 33 combined touchdowns in your senior year, 18 rushing touchdowns, over 1,000 rushing yards, 15 passing touchdowns to just 3 interceptions. So a lot of skill, but you've moved to the wide receiver position now at Notre Dame. What's that transition been like for you?
It's been a little different, just because I've never played wide receiver. But like a lot of coaches were telling me, went through the recruiting process, basically that I was a playmaker. So whatever they would have me doing, they just want me with the ball in my hands. And like, I agree with that. I'm not strictly a quarterback, so I know that. And I also like having the ball in my hands, so it's been fun. It's been fun learning a new position and just getting to play. So.
Any kick return, punt return?
Yeah, I'm definitely kick returns. I don't know about punt returns yet, but definitely getting some reps for kick returns.
I think it's cool how much you seem to enjoy the transition. I think a lot of kids would bristle at that, but you seem to be a team player.
Yeah, definitely. It's just always been a dream to play college football. I never actually knew what position. I mean, when I first started playing football, I was running back. Then I moved to quarterback, and quarterback was pretty much most of my life. But I also knew that I wasn't strictly a quarterback. So.
Let's go back even further. When you first came to Edwardsville, you said your mom got transferred to
SIU Carbondale to SIUE Edwardsville here. And so that was my fourth grade year. And then when I got up here, it was too late to sign up for football. So I actually didn't get to play fourth grade year, but fifth grade year was my first year of tackle.
And then you played tackle football from fifth grade year all the way to the present.
Yep.
But you played other sports as well. What else did you play?
I played baseball as a kid. I played soccer. I played, I ran track and football for sports.
Played some basketball too.
And basketball, yeah. How did I forget? All the way up to freshman year.
What brought you to really love the game of football, and did that one? Why did that one stand out more than the other sports?
Actually, basketball might have been my favorite sport all the way up until high school, honestly. But I soon realized that I was better at football, I guess, even though I might not have liked it as much. Then once I realized that, it just grew on me. So it eventually outweighed basketball. I just focused on football.
So then you start at Edwardsville High School, and you're playing for Coach Martin and his incredible staff there. What do you lead, or how do you attribute so much of the success that Edwardsville has had in football recently?
It's, like you said, it's the coaching staff. Like, I've never been around, like, even now that I'm in college, so much stuff at Notre Dame reminds me of, like, Edwardsville. Like, just the team chemistry, like, the players, the bonds. Like, they say in college when you go, like, not because so much more people, not every relationship will be as close, you know. It's nothing like high school, which there isn't. But I feel like Notre Dame is like as close as it gets. Like, I can definitely compare the two a lot. So I find myself doing that a lot while I'm there also. Just how much the coaches care, how much the players care. Each player has a relationship, no matter how many people are on the team. Like, I can call any player on the team right now and have a conversation with them, so.
Your junior year at Edwardsville, you run for 26 touchdowns, one away from the school record. How badly did you want that 27th?
I just think about all the touchdowns that got called back for holding or just senseless penalties. So, but yeah, definitely, I mean, the record holder is my best friend, Deontay Rogers. So we definitely had a laugh about it. He rubbed it in my face a little bit, but I'm definitely proud of him. I wish I could have got it, but oh well.
Well, certainly there were a lot of plays that lasted so long, there were more chances for holding. I mean, the amount of 80-yard touchdown runs that you had in your time at Edwardsville is something that I don't know if I'll ever see again at the high school level. What is it like when you're just breaking through that second level and you realize it's a foot race and I've got this?
I just remember, like, it was a habit, actually. Like, after every long touchdown, the first thing I do, turn around and see if there's a flag on the ground. Like, that's the worst feeling. You run an 80-yard touchdown, can't breathe, turn around. There's a flag on the ground. Now you got to run back, get the play, you know. Like, yeah, so it's definitely crazy. But.
And we talked about your transition to wide receiver and clearly the explosiveness that you possess to break off those large runs all the time. Do you almost view it as a blessing to be moved to a position where maybe you can flash those skills even more than you could at the quarterback position?
Yeah, I actually do. And I've thought about this with friends. Like, we've talked about, like, what if there was, because like I said, I'm not strictly a quarterback. I could, like, I wasn't all that amazing at throwing or whatever. But what if we did have a quarterback that was actually a quarterback? Then I wouldn't have to play quarterback. What if I played wide receiver my whole 4 years in high school? Like, just, I don't know. It's crazy to think about, like, how much more advanced I would be at the position one. I could have got more offers. So, like, I don't know. But I definitely enjoy it. Like, I wish I could have got that opportunity, but, you know.
So you mentioned offers. I know you had a bunch. You were a tremendous student in my class, sports and lit, and American lit, by the way. But you chose the Irish, and you and I had several conversations. This school's courting me. I'm visiting this school. We would talk very candidly about it. Why did you pick Notre Dame?
It's really an easy question. Life after football. I mean, that school gave me the best opportunity for if my dreams don't come true. If I'm, like, football can be taken any day, any second, so without it, that school gives me the best opportunity just to live my life. So,
What are your dreams?
I want to go to the NFL, but yeah, that's my dream.
And you might be the third Sports and Lit alumni to play in the NFL, which is pretty amazing.
What a tradition. It's amazing the way you're pumping out those NFL products, Dave.
Well, we start every class with 200 push-ups.
That's a good start, but I don't think push-ups are accounting for this guy's 4.4 speed over here.
I thought it was a 200-word free write.
Do you remember those?
Yeah.
You love those. And we studied. Who'd we study? Let's see what you remember. I'm putting you on the spot.
I remember the guy who played pool.
Kid Delicious.
The guy who traveled to, like, he spent all his money on pro tickets and just traveled.
Oh yeah,
to all the games.
Deion Rich, yeah, cool. You don't remember Arthur Ashe or Clemente or Mia Hamm?
Arthur Ashe, tennis player. Actually, it's the first time I learned about a tennis player. Honestly.
Yeah, cool. And you had good grades in high school. And you are a smart kid and you're a good student and you are maintaining those good grades. Tell us what your GPA is. I'm putting you on the spot again.
All right. I give a little credit to the coronavirus, but I ended this semester with 3.04.
That's good. You're working hard academically. And what's been tougher, the transition on the football field or the transition into that super academic environment?
Honestly, like, they play hand in hand. I feel like just getting used to the new workouts and the longer hours, like working your body so much harder than it's ever been worked. And then right after that, going to class and having to pay attention and stay awake. Like, I feel like that's really the hardest part. Like,
so you're lifting before you go to class in the morning.
So in the fall, we lift after. And in the spring, we lift before. So for this spring, we would go in at 5:30 a.m., go to 10, class at 10:30, until whenever you get out.
So you're in the weight room from 5:30 in the morning till 10 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. How many days a week in the spring?
So 4.
And then are you having practice in the afternoon?
So we'll go in 5:30, start lifting, say 6 o'clock, get done 7:30, go into the locker room, from our cleats, helmets, go straight out to the field, practice from 7:30 to 10, come back in, you got a shower, you got to eat, and then you got to make it to class, which is at 10:30. And if you don't make it to class on time, you get an infraction, which is like, basically, so in high school, how I also compare them to Notre Dame, Coach Martin always harped on doing the little things right. And that's, like, the biggest thing in Notre Dame. It's the littlest things that will keep you off the field. You'd be like, I only did that. Like, it's the littlest things, like, showing up to class on time, not filling out a questionnaire. Like, those things, they hold you accountable for it, and that's what keeps you off the field. Like, there's a lot of guys that don't play just for the little things, that have, like, the most talent but can't fill out a questionnaire. And that was, like, my biggest struggle when I first got there, is just doing the little things. Just because I'm like, don't think they matter that much, but they do. And so, yeah.
Discipline.
Yeah.
That's what I think they're trying to instill in you, is that discipline.
And how much of a grind is it to go through that process and know that it's an everyday thing? That off day isn't coming.
Yeah. Some days it's just like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Like, when I first got there, I'm like, going to workouts, I'm like, I don't know how I'm supposed to work out today. Like, my body feels like it's, like, completely shut down. Like, but then you have the teammates who've been there for years and a couple years or even the year before you, and you got them pushing you through it. Like, it's going to get better, bro. Like, it's not going to get any worse. It's just going to keep getting better. Like, your body's going to start getting used to it. And then that stuff does happen. So, and then it gives you confidence, and then you just keep going.
The coronavirus has taken a toll on sports nationally, on a worldwide level. And you and I were talking off mic before this that it's already had an impact on the Notre Dame schedule for the fall. You're not going to be able to take a trip?
Oh, yeah. So our first game this season against the Navy was supposed to be in Dublin, Ireland, but that's canceled. And right now we don't really know when we're going back. July 6th is what we've been hearing, but that's not for sure. So
and you weren't able to complete your spring season and your spring workout
schedule.
No spring
game, nothing. We actually had our first spring practice before spring break, which was March 6th, and we haven't been back since. So,
How have you been staying sharp in that time? You talk about how grueling it's been physically, the workouts that you do at Notre Dame. How's everyone keeping up?
It's definitely a blessing, like, all the relationships that I made here in Edwardsville. So, like, with everything being shut down, you know, my best friend, one of my other best friends, Norman Harris, his older brother, obviously owns Next Level, which is a top-tier training facility. So I'm allowed to go in there, which has definitely been a benefit because I know there's guys on our team who don't even have a place to work out or don't have someone to throw the ball to them, just, like, basically doing it all on their own. So it's definitely been hard. And I know it's been hard for guys to keep up, but...
And you've been going to Next Level for a while now. What have they been able to help you with, and why is it such a good fit for you?
Even before I went off to school, I had been going to them. It's just EJ's been to the D1 level. He knows what it takes and what, like, he should have been NFL, if you ask me. But he knows what it takes, and he has all his best interests in all of us. So I know he knows what he's doing. I trust him completely, so... Definitely.
And he's had other guys right. in the league.
That he's trained.
Right. 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 So that's a great place for you to be and a great place for you to keep training, obviously. So,
no doubt. And this upcoming season, what are your goals?
To get on the field, man. I redshirted last year. I had an injury at the beginning of the year, but I also had to adapt to some things, you know. It was pretty tough at first. But this year, definitely just to play. I mean, that's my goal.
And we talked a little bit off mic earlier, too, about what you think your role might be. Where do you see yourself fitting in that Irish offense?
Definitely at first, just like, I feel like they'll throw me in, see what I can do. And what goes from there is like what determines the rest, you know. I just need a chance. That's how I feel. Like, just give me a chance. And after that...
Well, we know you possess all the physical skills that it takes. What's it been like trying to adjust to the offensive playbook at Notre Dame? They're a very multiple offense. They'll go pro style. They'll spread you out a little bit. What's it been like to try to take in all of that and make sure that you have it down pat when your opportunity comes?
And that's one of the biggest things that, like, will get you on the field is knowing the playbook, which has been a little hard, but honestly, it hasn't been all that bad. I mean, since I played quarterback in high school, like, I had to know what everyone was doing. So, and I had to know the full concept, not just the route I'm running. So, like, that's definitely helped out a lot, but definitely got some work to do still, especially with not being at school in a couple months.
And how's Coach Kelly?
Coach Kelly, I love him. He's pretty cool. I mean, I don't have the closest relationship with him, but he definitely has the best team interests. So, like,
who's your position coach?
Dell Alexander. That's definitely a good guy. I like him. When he first recruited me, he talked about how Notre Dame and, like, the standard. But what he's been trying to do is bring in guys like himself who didn't go to Catholic high schools, like, didn't go to a private school, you know. Guys that coming from public schools may not have the best, the grades up to Notre Dame standard. But just bring them in and show them that they can do it, and then them showcasing their talents. So,
what's it like to have somebody like that that believes in you and sees that level of talent and wants to see the best out of you because they see that potential?
Definitely motivating. Like, we've sat down and had multiple talks, like, where he's just like, I'm just like you. I know it's just hard. Like, I know what you're going through. Like, I'm one of maybe 10 people on the team that went to a public school, so, like, it's definitely comforting.
Have you been getting much attention from what they call Subway fans, fans who didn't even go to Notre Dame but still follow Notre Dame football?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I went up before I even committed. I remember going to the spring game and leaving out the stadium and people asking me for my autograph. I was like, wait, like, I'm not even on the team. Like, they're like, oh, we know. Like, I'm like, okay. So it's crazy. Like, the diehard Notre Dame fans that never even been on campus. Like, Jordan Jones, you know Jordan Jones, he has a friend, James Waters. And I went over to their house a couple of days ago, and they're like diehard Notre Dame fans. None of them went to Notre Dame. They have a Notre Dame shrine in their basement that they showed me. It's just crazy, the love that the school gets.
But the school can also be polarizing. There are a lot of people that root against,
that hate
us. Hate Notre Dame. Have you seen that too?
It's either they love us or they hate us. Yeah, definitely have seen that. Especially like even some of our own fans. Like when we lost to Michigan, we had our own fans trashing us on Twitter. Just like, wow, like the other day you just said all this and now. But
so yeah. What do you do?
You ignore it.
Pretty much have to.
You ignore it. Yeah. But they hate us, like you said, just because we're not in conference. So that's the biggest deal. So yeah.
And that's another adjustment you have to make. The media coverage, the way that you have people coming at you on social media. What's it been like to deal with all of that? Because it's got to be overwhelming at times.
I haven't had much of it, but I remember one instance. We were playing Georgia, and this was like second game of the season, and so I was still hurt. And I get a tweet after we lose, and it's like, Kendall for Heisman. He's a coward faking an injury, like blah, blah, blah. Like, that's crazy. I'm not even at the game.
And they're worried about you. Yeah. Wow.
Well, luckily, we can tell you're able to kind of just laugh these kind of things off. There are some guys that really take that seriously, and it can either be a motivating thing, or if you really wear that chip a little bit too much, I'm sure you've seen guys that crumble under that pressure a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely motivating for me just because, like, I haven't even touched the field. Like, how are you tweeting at me? I mean, I just got here. But when I do, then you'll see. So it's, like, definitely motivating.
And no matter how many plays you make, there's always going to be one guy out there or one girl out there that's going to.
You could have made another.
Yeah. So I think you have to prepare for that. Has Notre Dame done anything to prepare you for the media spotlight and fan attention?
So, like when we went to play Georgia, like we do things in practice. Like Georgia has a huge stadium and it's like it's crazy loud. So like we just got an indoor facility. And we're practicing Georgia Week. And the whole practice is just like, we got this big, like, Megatron screen. And they just have fans screaming as loud as it goes. Like, you can't hear anything in the indoor. The whole practice, like, you call in plays, like, and it's just screaming fans, like, audio. It's crazy. Like, just standing there and now you're like, I don't know how. Like, we're supposed to do this. But then you get to the games and it's even worse. Like, it's crazy.
Did Notre Dame bring any of their famous alumni in to give you guys some pep talks? And if so, who? I mean, because you're following the footsteps of Tim Brown, Desmond Howard. There's a litany. No, wait, sorry, Desmond Howard's blue.
Yeah, that's a bad mix-up.
Yeah, there. Sorry. Tim Brown. We'll stay with him.
Yeah, they brought in a few, but I can't recall. It was like at the beginning of the year. I forget his name.
Joe Theismann?
No.
Joe Montana?
No. I wish.
None of those guys.
Nah.
All right. Well, I remember reading one time about Newt Rockne in Sports and Lit, and you were being recruited at the time. I go, you know who that is? And you're like, nope. And I'm like, oh, man. You better find out fast.
Yeah. All right. Rocky Blyer.
Rocky Blyer.
Yeah.
There you go.
Kendall, thank you so much for the time. This has been a really fun interview. We're looking forward to hopefully a college football season and what you can do out there on the field. Just a great time here, and thank you once again.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
And keep up the good work in the classroom, too.
Yes.
We'll do.
That's what we're the most proud of here in the Metro East. This is the Metro East Sports Podcast. For Dave Leip, I am Colin Surrey. So long until next time, everyone.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.